שלום חברים. ברוך הבא לכל מקשיבים. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi Kehilat HaMashiach בתוך ישראל. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My dear friends, I want to call your attention to two strange men bearing strange names, bent upon strange stratagems, and upon whom came strange experiences. They lived thousands of years ago, yet the issues of their transactions have import and information for our own days. Indeed, an ancient utterance of one of them was preserved in the memory of millennia and became embodied in the very first message ever to be sped over the modern telegraph. The first of these strange men was a king, the second a prophet. Both were Gentiles, and each possessed a sinister appellation. The king was named the Destroyer, and the prophet the Swallower of a Nation. And, as if seeking light on their strange actions by looking into their ancestry, the king was designated the Son of a Bird, and the prophet the Son of a Blaze. What of the king? Our eyes first behold him as he first beholds Israel. For, by divine revelation, our introduction comes to us in these words: Vayar Balak ben Tzippor et kol asher asa Yisrael Amori. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. Now the appellation of the king, Balak, means destroyer, and the ancestry of the king, Tzippor, means a bird. And, as is so often the case in Scripture, this nomenclature was good commentary upon the historic monarch who possessed it. The eyes of Balak the destroyer were full of intent to destroy the people of Israel, and this son of a bird was set upon the method of destruction, the invocation of the supernatural. Supernatural powers are ascribed to birds in ancient Jewish folklore. Yadua was the name given to one such magical bird, the tongue of which Balak is supposed, by tradition, to have inserted in an occult bird constructed of gold, with mouth of silver and wings of bronze, for purposes of divination and supernatural oracular responses. This idolatrous Moabite monarch, impressed by Israel's victories over Sion, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, was filled with dread when he saw the children of Israel spread out in the plains of Moab, opposite Jericho, on the east side of the River Jordan. Securing as natural allies the nearby Midianites, this son of a bird sought as supernatural ally the strange but interesting figure of the son of a blaze. Again, Scripture nomenclature is apt in introducing to us Bilam ben Beor, for Balaam, the son of Beor, means the swallower of a nation, the son of a blaze. You will find the biblical record of these strange transactions well worth your careful examination, and I therefore commend to you the pertinent account found in Moses' fourth book, known as Numbers, chapters 22 through 24, and cast within the history of the children of Israel, extending from their second arrival at Kadesh to their encampment in Moab's plains. As I said, Balaam was a Gentile, an Aramean, and seems to have lived at Pittor, a city of Mesopotamia, by the river Euphrates. And through him, our minds are alerted to two exceedingly arresting facts. Although a Gentile dwelling among heathen people, Balaam possessed an adequate knowledge of the one true God of the universe, for he utters the sacred tetragrammaton, which is commonly pronounced Jehovah, and expects and receives communication from him. I confess I am increasingly dissatisfied with the modern evolutionary concept that man began as a speck and evolved into a sage. And my dissatisfaction is the more manifest when such evolutionary extravagances are applied to man's pristine knowledge of God. However, that is another subject introduced into my mind by this ancient record of Balaam. Yet it is fortified by the second interesting fact that this son of a blaze not only possessed knowledge of the God of Moses, whose fire had been seen in the bush that burned without being consumed, but was actually regarded as being in such relationship with powers, celestial or otherwise, that his blessings or his curses were potent and guaranteed performance. He was, therefore, this Balaam, in some sense a prophet, although the actual and usual biblical name for prophet Navi is not used of him. The Hebrew word Navi is connected with the thought of a bubbling forth, as, for instance, water bubbles up from a concealed fountain. In this way, the prophet of God involuntarily bursts forth with spiritual utterances under the compulsion of the divine Spirit of God. Purely for your interest, I may add that our father Abraham is the first person to whom the title prophet, Navi, is given. The scriptures do not entitle Balaam to share with Abraham the title Navi, but they do describe him as Koseim, a diviner, a vocation and practice expressly denounced by Moses in the 18th chapter of Deuteronomy, and placed in strong contrast with a particular Navi, prophet, whom Moses declares will be raised up by the eternal God, and who will be like Moses, and whom older Jewish interpretation regards as undoubtedly pertaining to the Messiah himself. However, Balaam describes himself in terms consonant with an experience of divine prophecy, and our Jewish tradition declares that he gradually developed from an interpreter of dreams to a sorcerer, and had actually attained the greater dignity of prophet, in no way inferior to Moses. Moses was the greatest prophet amongst the Israelites, but Balaam was his peer among the heathen, and was, indeed, the last of the heathen prophets. Thus declares our human tradition. Now, back to the play and interplay between the son of a bird and the son of a blaze. Balak, the destroyer, sought to enlist the powers of Balaam, the swallower, in order to swallow up the people of Israel within the ravenous mouth of a supernatural curse. For, said Balak to Balaam, I know that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. How arresting it is to observe that, before yielding to Balak's request, this strange son of a blaze had sufficient light burning in his lamp of spiritual intelligence that he made a reply very difficult to reconcile with modern evolutionary ideas. Here are the words of this heathen prophet. Lodge here this night, and I will bring you back word as the Eternal, and the word is again Yahweh, Jehovah, may speak unto me. Here is a pagan, non-Israelite, from the land of the Euphrates, taking upon his lips the sacred tetragrammaton, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, the revered name of the eternal God of the universe. Moreover, these details are recorded by Moses, a fact acknowledged in our Talmudic writings, which declare that Moses wrote his book and also the chapter of Balaam. How are we to reconcile this phenomenon with the modern evolutionary hypothesis that Jehovah was a mere tribal god of the Hebrews? Clearly, this ancient document points not to evolution, but to revelation. For, as we shall see in this and succeeding messages, the God of the universe speaks to the seer of Mesopotamia as well as to the prophet of Israel. We read, ויבוא אלוהים אל בלעם, ויאמר, מי האנשים האלה עמך? And gods, for the word is in the plural, came to Balaam and said, Who are these men with thee? When Balaam confesses to the Eternal the malevolent purpose of the Moabite and Midianite elders, the Eternal forbids Balaam either to go with the conspirators or to curse Israel. For, declares God's Elohim, they, Israel, are blessed. Of what avail the curses of an unworthy human prophet when the very source of prophecy, God himself, has pledged blessing upon and through the very source of Israel, our father and prophet Abraham? This promise of divine blessing was passed on to Jacob and Jacob's seed, the Israel's 12 tribes, with assurance of redemptive climax in the great Messiah prophet of whom Moses spoke. Rabbi Pinchas Shapiro expressed this redemptive truth when he said, The kernel which is sown in earth must fall in pieces so that the ear of grain may sprout from it. Words which echo the declaration of the Messiah himself, and here I quote, I most solemnly say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains a single grain. But if it does die, it yields a great harvest. I have quoted from Yochanan. How remarkable that Balaam himself was divinely impelled to prophesy of Messiah when he uttered the amazing prediction of the star out of Jacob. Truly, that messianic star has blazed forth its light, glory, and hope with a greater brilliancy than the sun of a blaze, who saw prophetically its rising. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yair Adonai panav eilecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav eilecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.